three. Was there ever a song to sing that could ever express my king? The work you've done. Start again.
In the presence of holiness, we see you, Son of Righteousness. So we bring all that we possess to lay at your feet. In the place where your glory shines, as this lover of all mankind, you have drawn us with love divine to make us complete. So I pause at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. Is there tribute that I could bring? Was there ever a song to sing that could ever express my King, the work you have done? Could I ever conceive of this? All the depth of your height and breadth, all the riches I now possess, because of your love. So I pause at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. So I pause at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we just want to worship you, and we wait at your gates. And we pray that your spirit will fill us as we enter your presence, that we can be here to honor you and to serve each other. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a beautiful morning. Okay, we tried to get the words up, but between me and the projectionist, we don't have the skills yet. So maybe next week we can have the song up and then we can sing it together. You should know it by now. I think we sang it last week and this week, so maybe next week we can all do it together. Okay, so notices. Board meeting on Wednesday. It's going to be interesting. And yes, okay. Well, I just need to qualify that. There's a door in the hall that had to be hung 6 months ago, and the guilty party says it's going to be an interesting meeting. Huh? Nee, dis die probleem. Okay, that's it. Is there anybody who'd like to share something? Just keep it in mind after the next song. To be in your presence, let's just stand and just honor God in His presence.
To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, may your love surround me and makes me complete. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire. To rest in your presence, not rushing away. To cherish each moment, here I would stay. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my
my desire. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. Let's just lift up our prayers, our petitions, our worship to the Lord. Let's just take a few minutes and just praise Him. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. The voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and praise. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne, crowned Him now with many crowns. You reign victorious. Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
Is there anybody who'd like to share something at this moment?
Goeiemôre.
Goeiemôre.
Baie lekker om terug te wees. Vir die wat die weet nie, ons was 6 weke in Nieu-Seeland, dis hoekom julle ons nie gesien het nie, ons het ons dogter gaan kuier. Ek het hierdie kom terug, as self speaking Afrikaans all the time, now I'll change. We came back as great grandparents. Little girl was born, it was 12 days late, so that caused most of our time spending at home instead of going around, but we all enjoyed it. We really enjoyed the 6 weeks. We were spoiled rotten. For 6 weeks, either Judy or myself didn't touch the steering wheel of a car. We were driven around. We couldn't think loud of anything that looks nice in a shop, because the next moment it was in the trolley and it arrived at home. We didn't have to do, or weren't allowed to do anything. Got coffee in bed every morning. So eventually I said to them, it feels like being the Joseph's Hotel. But we really enjoyed it, but we're very, very glad to be back. And the rest of the stories, you can get over coffee and tea.
Good morning, everyone. You are a little bit of a delayed testimony. I just want to thank the Lord. Early on in January, I celebrated my 60th birthday. And I thought it's a good opportunity, you know, to get the family together, my family in KwaZulu-Natal. And so I just sent out a WhatsApp, you know, we're going to have a family gathering and it'll just be informal and so on. And there was a lot of preparations. But it was wonderful. The Lord is really gracious, gave us a safe and a lovely trip traveling up. We traveled through beautiful roads to a beautiful part of the Eastern Cape, on the Yugi side and Graafrenet that way, and onto Port Shepstone in Durban. So we had a gathering at my sister's place, and it was, you know, really so blessed. I must say it's answered to lots of prayers, because there was just calmness. The children were just enjoying themselves in the pool. We had a braai and snacks. And we are five generations in our family. So you can imagine there were cousins that didn't know each other. There were new additions to the family, those who were newly married into the family. There were some we hadn't seen for years, some who, because of divorce, you know, gone their parts, but I invited one of the family members and that type of thing. So it was really wonderful connecting and seeing some of the younger ones who were like, I think the last time I saw Ashley must have been about maybe 10 or something. He's now a grown man with his daughter in, his son almost going to university. And then there was an aunt that everyone hadn't seen for a long time. So everybody came and said, thank you so much. Thank you for inviting us. And when I made calls later on to say thank you for the gift, or I didn't have time to speak to you, we didn't have much time to speak, they said, sure, it was wonderful. It was the first time I saw so many family members. We were 65 with the children. And there was still a lot that couldn't make it because it's January. You know, January is a difficult time. Others have gone back to Gauteng, university, school, and that type of thing. So I just praise God, you know. God really just blessed the time with the family and just let the younger generation also realize the value of family, because we are losing that. And when we have weddings in our families, only certain people are invited because, you know, there's a limited amount. Now suddenly everyone is invited. So, you know, but God blessed it and provided. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to stand right here. Okay. We had a week of prayer in the Andrew Murray Center, but all over, you just heard there's prayer going on, there's prayer, and lots of prayer went out for specific needs and also, you know, for whosoever. But, you know, we pray for souls as well, because that is so important at this precious moment. Now, Thursday night afternoon, we're having our band practice, and we finish. So I walked out here, Moira went, shoop, I went this way. So as I passed this building, a lot of women were standing over there. And this one with a little baby, so that caught my eye. And I went closer and I asked about the baby, and I got the message, where's the mom? Mom was going this way, that way, but you know, the beauty of it is that I am so excited about, and I believe each and every one of us, that we are going into the office where God has called us to. We do what God has ask us to do. So I'm so glad that God said to me, do the work of an evangelist, and me cannot keep quiet. And God allowed me to speak to each woman. And you know, to top it up, at the end, they all are backsliders. This is very sad. They live in Lupenvale, Groenberg, and two young children, young girls, that's at Berg River High School. I could even encourage them, and I could ask them if they have accepted the Lord Jesus already. They said no. I could even make it known to them, it is so important right now for you people. They're attending a prayer meeting at the school, but Jesus is the answer for you now. So I'm so glad, you know, that God has given me that privilege to minister to each woman and to pray. And they could even say, yo, I'm feeling so much better. It wasn't like that earlier on, but now I'm feeling good. I said, come back to the Lord Jesus, and it will go more better for you. So thank you. I thank God for that. Amen.
Last person. Let's sing our next song. You are holy.
You are holy, holy. Lord, there is none like you. You are holy, to you alone. You are holy, holy. Lord, there is none like you. You are holy, holy. Glory to you alone. I'll sing your praises forever, deeper in love with you. Here in your courts where I'm close to your throne, I found where I belong. I'll sing your praises forever, deeper in love with you. Here in your courts where I'm close to your throne, I found where I belong. Here in your courts where I'm close to your throne, I found where I belong.
So as Serena said, when we leave here, we have to do this.
We'll walk this land with hearts on fire, and every step will be a prayer. Hope is rising, new day dawning, sound of singing fills the air. 2,000 years and still the flame is burning bright across the land. Hearts are waiting, Lord, will take for awakening once again. Let the flame burn brighter in the heart of the darkness, turning night to a glorious day. Let the song grow louder as the Lord grows stronger. Let it shine, let it shine. We'll walk for truth, sweet God, for love. Jesus' name, we shall be strong to lift the fallen, to save the children, to fill the nation with your song. Let the flame burn brighter in the heart of the darkness, telling night to glorious day. Let the song grow louder as the love grows stronger. Let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.
Please be seated. We're taking up collection now. We're glad you're back.
You are crowned with many crowns and rule all things with righteousness. You are crowned with many crowns, upholding all things by your word. You rule the power and reign in glory. You are Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of all. You are Lord of all. You are crowned with many crowns and rule all things with righteousness. You are crowned with many crowns, upholding all things by your word. You rule in power and reign in glory. You are Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of all. You are Lord of all.
Lord, this is where we all belong. In church, we've just seen a beautiful country with very little churches. God, we love you. Look after us. Thank you for bringing us all here together. You can see smiling faces in the church. Lead us through every day, protect us, and bring us all safe back tomorrow. Amen.
Serena will now lead us in the prayer of intercession.
Good morning, shall we pray? Father, we call upon your name this morning, just to know that we know a God that answers prayer. And Lord, we want to thank you for being so good to us. People traveled far and near, but you have been so good, Lord, to watch over them, and you brought them safely to their destination, in Jesus' name. Father, we want to pray this morning especially for those who are in need. Lord, we know that your word says that you owe a cattle on 1,000 hills. So we call upon your name, Lord, to meet up with the need of the many. Those who are hungry, you the one that are feeding them, Lord. As you feed the birds, they will be fed too. Lord, you will use hands. You will speak to many just to be a blessing to those who don't have. Father, there are many that are not well. We remember our dear brother Franz. We remember even Juan. And there are so many, Lord. Your word says that I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And by your stripes we are healed. Lord, remember them all. Those who we don't know, remember them, Lord. In hospitals, at home, on the street, in doctor's surgeries right now, Lord. They need your touch, Lord. And it is your word, Lord, that will make them whole. In the name of Jesus. Father, we remember nations, Lord. Nations that undergo such turmoil. But Lord, we should not be alarmed, because your word talks about it in Matthew, Lord. Many things will happen. Earthquakes, there will be such shakings. Lord, there will be death. So much, Lord. But Father, we are not moved by it. We look to you, but we ask for your protection there where it's needed right now. Father God, where the waters are just overflowing. Father, people are lost. People are flushed away. But I pray, Father, for comfort for those who need it right now. For them, for their families who are being washed away through the waters. Father, I pray that you will strengthen their hearts. Father God, there are many that lost loved ones. You are our comforter, my God. I pray for those who need a touch right now through their loved ones that they lost through death. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here to comfort them right now. Lord, preparation is needed to be done for the funeral. You are there, Lord. You lead them, and your Spirit will guide them and help them in the name of Jesus. Father, we also pray right now for the schools. Father, it's going viral about the bully. Lord, that is a spirit of God that has been let loose in the schools. Children, my God, is affected through bullying. But I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that bullying will begin to stop where it started in Jesus' name. Father, unnecessary guns were pointed. Unnecessary, my God, this child is dead because of bullying. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon the young people in the name of Jesus. Even as families has been called in right here in Wellington. Gangsterism has even showed up, Lord. Father, have mercy. Lord, I pray that it will stop in Jesus' name. I pray for your presence, O God, to flow in each school in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch these young children. Protect them, Lord. Watch over them, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, once again, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Where we can't reach, you are there, Lord. In each dark corner, you are there. in the name of Jesus. Father, we have come together to hear what is it that you want to say to us, Lord. This morning we can only say, speak, Lord, thy servants hear it. Use your servant, the channel whom thou hast chosen for this morning. Speak. May your word fall on good ground, and may we receive it gladly and apply it into our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Christopher is away in fall. Can't you hear me? Better?
Yes.
Okay. Christopher is away in Paul preaching there, so you stuck with me this morning. And I've got a long sermon. A very long sermon. A few weeks ago, a woman visited us on the farm, and don't ask me, it's more than a day ago, how we came to the subject, but I said to her, the biggest problem Christians today have is to live according to God's will in the world that we know today. We all know that we are bombarded with all nonsense around us every and each day, and some people have even turned off their TVs. They don't watch TVs anymore. And the biggest problem that we have, if we use it wrongly, is our cell phones. And our young people, I think they are especially vulnerable. Just to start, they start in their Christian life, and now they have to cope with all the nonsense that's going on around their heads. I looked in the Bible and I found that I'm going to read a few verses this morning. That's not going to appear out there, but it's short verses, so it's okay. In Romans 12 verse 2, Paul implores believers not to conform to the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of their minds. This resonates with the dilemma we face as modern-day Christians. Every single day, believers are faced with choices and decisions that either conform to the world or follows God's will. And that is a difficult one. When are the decisions that we make according to God's will? How do we get there? That we know absolutely what's wrong and what is right. Because today the whole world is grey. You go this way, it's grey. You go that way, it's grey. To find God in between all that greyness is getting more difficult every day. In Ephesians 4 verse 23 and 23, Paul again warned people of Ephesus to put off their old self, in his words, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of their minds. Again, their minds. To be made new, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul is how many years ago, and still we're fighting the same fight. I think today's even worse. If I read all the crap that I see pass before me, sometimes it's terrible. The question now is, what characteristics do Christians have to possess to enable us to successfully withstand the onslaught of the unbelieving world against the way God wants us to live? To prepare ourselves. How do we prepare ourselves? How do we prepare our children? I'm going to read you Okay, the first one, I want to share with you, first scripture is when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to spread the message of reconciliation. He told them in Matthew 10, verse 16, the characters that they would need. And Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. I must confess, I had to go look up, find out exactly what was meant there. Now, they say, Mrs. Google, no, it wasn't Mrs. Google, it was someone else. As people, sheep, as people who are vulnerable and dependent on a shepherd for guidance and protection in a hostile world, relying only on their faith in Jesus. Sheep is dependent on a shepherd, and so are we. But we have to accept that mistake or fault that we have and look to Jesus for everything. Snakes. That was a nice one. Every time you look it up, there's another explanation for snakes in here, that we must be like snakes. Anyway, the nearest one that I could find was shrewd as snakes. Shrewd in this case would probably mean to not be overbearing, because Christians reason spiritually and seldom rely on hard facts to prove a point. Good friend of mine, Okoki, I don't know whether you all remember him. Some of you. Can't you hear, love? Okay, I'll try my best. Sorry, are you okay now? Okay, I'll shout a bit louder. Cocky, when I first met him, was a bit overbearing. He was in your face all day long. And the moment the shrewdness came in for me, that he started to feed you just bits of God and of God's message, just bits, just to make you interested in what he's going to say next, and then he says nothing, and he walks away. A week later, you meet him again, and he starts putting out those bits again. That's shrewdness. He realized, and he told me so, he realized later on that people run away from him when he threw the whole book at them. And then he started to just... It's like you want to catch a dove. You put out seeds until the dove is in the box, and you close the box, you've got him. I think this is the shrewdness that Jesus was meaning. Snakes, yep. Doves. Doves are a symbol, they say in the Bible, of the Spirit of God. Namely serenity, reconciliation, and peace. Those white doves, they're not so... You don't find them anymore, not so much. It's only when somebody is really breeding with them. But that's the idea that you have. Something that is soft, doesn't hurt you, isn't going after you. And I think that tells us exactly how God is with us and how we should be with others as well. I forgot about the wolves. Where does the wolves come in? Because if you look at the one explanation of the wolves, is that they look after their children well. They're always protecting their children, feeding their children. And then the one explanation that I think is fitting here: people who will do anything to promote their own interest in total disregard of the interest of anyone else. Those are the wolves that we encounter each and every day, every day of our lives. They are clever, And usually Christians are too soft-hearted to really stand up. And we haven't got a choice, we have to. And if not for ourselves, but for the man next to us, we don't have a choice. But so God is, Jesus was warning us against these people. And today it's still the same. Nothing has changed. But let's turn to Ephesians 6 verse 14. I think we all know it very well. But I'm going to read it. You've got it. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. If we look at, and these are help. This is help that we have to follow, have to make us our own. Make it our own so that we can stand strongly and not on our own. The moment you start standing on your own, you fall. There's no way that you can keep upright against the world today. And I say it, when last have you been on the road between Paul and Wellington at the wrong time of day? You're not even out of Paul and you showing fist and running on your hooter and stuff like that, and that's wrong according to the Bible. You're not behaving as a Christian. So let's work through this. Truth, it's God's word. Righteousness, to be right, especially in a moral way. Readiness, availability to God to take out his message. And that's a strong one. We must always be available to God. Are all believers disciples? What do you think? These are, remember the first that we had was Jesus that sent out his disciples. Who are we? Are we God's disciples or not? Why? All believers. Are all believers disciples? They say no. So only true believers that are disciples. There's a big difference. I didn't know, but there is a big difference. The true believer will be working for God, and the other one will be working for what he can get out of God. I can look it up and I'll tell you in a minute's time. Readiness. Be always ready. The Bible itself tells us, always be ready to tell others about the hope that you have. Always. Not sometimes, always. Faith is our trust in God. Without trusting in God that he will help us, what do we have to stand on? What do we have to keep us upright? Nothing. It's your own power that will keep you up for a few minutes and then you'll succumb to whatever is wrong. Salvation, that's something that you know and that will strengthen you. Spirit, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Prayer, pray in the Spirit. Pray with other believers. Always pray, always talk to God. If we don't do that, no hope. I'm sorry. Because the moment you stop praying and talking to God, that moment you go on your own and you don't have the strength to stay upright. We need God. And we need to talk to Him. We need to ask Him to come and help. Because on our own, no ways. Oh, and then in Timothy 6 verse 11, Paul's charge to Timothy, counseling him to prepare him for his task among unbelievers. And he begins, let's read it. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. There comes the gentleness in. Gentleness that we need when we give out God's message. To jump on non-believers and try to stuck it down their throat won't work. It's again gentleness. If we put these two together, how much of God do we find here? Truth? It's God's word. It's the Bible. Righteousness? Paul used it both times. To Timothy and also with the armor of God. That we should be right, especially in a moral way, always. Can we do that? Again, not without God, definitely not. Readiness. It's not in the second one. Faith is also to Timothy. To Timothy, love, gentleness, endurance is the first time it wasn't used in the armor of God. There we have faith, salvation, spirit, prayer. So we've got 11 out of the two. There's 11 characteristics that we need to stand upright. And it all comes down to know your Bible. Oh boy, somebody's missing. Know your Bible. And keep people around you, fellow believers, that you can talk to, that you can reason to, that you can fight with about the Bible or about the meaning of what is written in the Bible. We do it all the time. It's not fisticuffs, but it's getting hot sometimes. And it's not wrong. But surround you with people like-minded. Paul doesn't say for nothing that our minds should be renewed. We should help each other to renew our way of thinking. That's the important thing, I think. If we all think alike about the important things, not about trivialities and things of our everyday life, that doesn't matter, but about God, what God wants from us, what He wants for us, we should know. These things we should know. And we should turn to each other to really make it part of our lives. Some of us forget quickly, others remember longer, and they should help the old people that forgets. But by the time we get old, that should be part of our whole demeanor, who we are, what we are. And we should be leading the younger people. We can't go on our own. We're messing with ourselves and with the future of those that come after us. I'm going to read it again. And try to try to remember it or read it tonight. At truth, which is God's word, righteousness. We should always try to make the decisions that we make, where not only our own lives, but also the lives of others around us. Their lives is influenced by the decisions that we make. We must be righteous. We must be morally right. We are not the most important beings in the universe. Definitely not. Readiness. Always be available for God to use. Ah-hoo! God uses everybody. I've discovered it a few times now. Even people that's non-believers. But be ready. Be always available to God to use. It's not the minister's job only, or the elders, or whoever. Every one of us should be always available to God to use for His kingdom. Is it difficult? No. He'll see to it that the right words will be available when you have to talk to somebody or somebody comes to you with a problem. Just wait on Him to speak, and don't you speak first and afterwards ask Him, was I right or was I wrong? I don't think He'll even answer you then. But wait on Him. Don't be hasty to look for an answer. Have faith in God. Without faith in God, no ways. Our salvation, keep it in your mind that we are saved. But we can so quickly, so easily fall out and turn our backs on God. Spirit, prayer, and then love, gentleness, endurance. Always keep those factors with you. It's okay to fight, but like my wife said, told me the other day when I had a few bad moments, she said, a soft word goes much further than your ranting. I said, but you don't hear my soft words. I said, but it's nonsense. No, soft words, the right soft word at the right time accomplish much more than going off like a time bomb. I think that's my whole message today. I think when we pray, we must ask God for a discerning heart and mind to enable us to distinguish between, in the gray areas, between what's right and what is wrong. To help us make the right decision. Because decisions to make the right decisions aren't always that simple. A lot of times there's a catch. And you think you're doing the right thing and then you make a big, big, big mistake. Especially when other people are involved. When it's your own mistake, it's your own mistake. But let's pray and always ask God to give us that discerning mind and heart. Because our hearts aren't always right. Sometimes you need a bit more mind than heart. Those of you who have children will know. And what is good for you and easy on you isn't always good for the child. And that is applicable to a lot of situations in our daily lives. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we stand before You and we've heard Your voice through Your word. The things that You've been telling us right from page one of Your word up to here and further as well. Lord, help us to remember your promises, the things that you've told us not to do and the way we should do it. Help us, Lord, to read your word, to make it our own, to put it in our minds so that we will always have it there to fall back on. So that when we are in a difficult situation, that we will know what to ask you and how to ask it. Lord, we know that you've promised us that you will always listen to us and that you will always be there. Teach us the patience to wait on you, to give us an answer. And if we have to delay the answer even for 2 days or 3 days, it doesn't matter. Help us to wait on you, to find the right answer so that we can do our little bit to correct the circumstances under which we are living today. And give us that readiness, Lord, to help those that have fallen away or haven't heard from you. You be with us always. Amen.
Surprisingly, our last song is Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master of day. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me to snow. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, oh power, surely he shall. Touch me and heal me, save me divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold on my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall say, Christ only always living in me.
As a greeting, I'd like to read you Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a nice week.